Another edition of Pittsburgh Pop with me, Tim Benz, and Rob Owen. Glad that you're with us on a Monday. You can read Rob each and every week, TV Talk, TV Q&A. I'm Daily Breakfast with Benz, Monday through Friday. This is your podcast weekly for a slice of pop culture. Rob and I team up with it each and every Monday afternoon. If you haven't made a habit of listening, glad that you're starting and hope that you will continue to do so. Rob, lots to talk about today. First and foremost, House of the Dragon, the season finale last night. This isn't something I've been keeping up with. It's not like I was going to jump in on the finale the same night as a Steeler game. So you're going to have to get me caught up. What have been the responses and the reviews so far to the season finale?
So I think I certainly liked the season finale. The whole season was kind of a weird shape because I thought it started strongly, it ended strongly, and then I think there's a lot that people didn't love about the middle section of the season. You know, they did these time jumps that were just, they pushed the story forward. They just kept pushing, which, you know, okay, I guess, but I understand why they did it, but it just felt, like the end of Game of Thrones where they just sort of breezed through everything. You know, in House of the Dragon, they'd introduce characters, kill them within the same episode. So it meant nothing because you didn't know who they were. You know, Game of Thrones started slow, and so when they had the Red Wedding, it was genuinely shocking. When they killed Ned Stark, you know, at the end of season one, genuinely shocking. This was not as well structured, I don't think. You know, I don't know. I haven't read the books that this is based on, so I don't know the shape of the story they're trying to tell, but this first season just seemed very rushed at points, and yet the last two episodes of the season were great. There was another one that you couldn't see anything because they shot it in the daytime and then tried to make it look like nighttime in post-production. That was a terrible episode. But the last two were really good. Eve Best, who plays the woman who was never queen, who should have been queen of Westeros, she had this fantastic scene in the penultimate episode where she's on this dragon and it crashes through the floor and interrupts the ceremony where they're trying to make this guy king. It was really exceedingly well done. And then the finale, you know, it sets us on a path towards a civil war. There are some amazing scenes with dragons, and it was somewhat predictable the way it was going to go. But I thought it was a strong episode, some beautiful visuals. So yeah, I'm ready for next season, which maybe they've just started filming it or they're getting ready to start filming it, but it's going to be a while before we see it.
How long of a shelf life do you think it has?
The series as a whole?
Yeah.
Oh, I think it can easily go 5 or 7 seasons. I mean, it's doing well. It's certainly, you know, it is a show people are talking about. It is a show people are tweeting about. I can't say that for Lord of the Rings, Rings of Power on Amazon. I feel like I see very little engagement with that title. But House of the Dragon, I feel like there's a lot more chatter about. So I think, and it's been a hit for HBO, no question.
We got a bunch of other stories that have some local ties this week. One about a movie that was filmed here. Trailer is out. It's for the Tom Hanks film A Man Called Otto. I watched the trailer on my trip down to South Carolina over the weekend to see Syracuse lose to Clemson, by the way, Rob. I don't know if you tuned into that one, but that was a heartbreaker. So I saw that on the flight down. I happened to notice that the trailer was out, so I saw it. Am I gonna like this movie more or less than the first time I saw it when it was called As Good as It Gets?
Yeah, he's
it's the same movie, it looks like, isn't it? Like grumpy old man gets thrust into
gold.
Right. Yes, exactly. Finds he has a heart of gold because of something that happens with his neighbors. Like,
right.
It's Greg Kinnear and Jack Nicholson and Helen Hunt all over again.
Yes, I think that is certainly a fair comparison. This is based on a book which was previously made into a movie overseas called A Man Called Ove, I believe.
Yeah, Ove or Ovi or something like that.
Yeah, instead of Otto. But this was filmed in Pittsburgh. When was this filmed in Pittsburgh? Earlier this year? Yeah, I guess so.
Do you know where? I was having a hard time from the trailer figuring out where exactly.
It was all over the place, but I feel like sort of maybe Ambridge, Aliquippa is where some stuff was. I know we reported on some location work that was done for it. I just don't remember it offhand, but yeah, so it's one of those feel good films that's opening on Christmas Day to qualify for Oscars, but then doesn't go wide until mid-January. And, you know, I think for people who like Tom Hanks and like feel good type movies, this, you know, might do well, but I don't know. Those are not the kinds of movies that are doing well at the box office these days. The people are only going to theaters for horror and big budget sequels. I mean, we sort of talked about that a little bit last week on the
podcast. Yeah, crash bang action films where you feel like you're immersing yourself in some sort of experience beyond just a plot line and acting.
Right. Small bore kind of character dramas. That's, I mean, Tom Hanks is a draw, so it will probably do better than others, but I don't know. I feel like this one might go to streaming relatively quick.
Yeah, and I was kidding to a certain degree, but we've seen this plot before.
Yes. I mean, from the trailer, it's very obvious.
My cousin was in that movie. She played Jack Nicholson's ditzy secretary, or the secretary of the psychologist that he went to go see, I believe.
Yes, was Julie Benz.
Yeah. So I've seen that movie a couple of times. So as soon as I saw the trailer, it just resonated with me right again. I'm like, right, that's what this is.
Right.
Same thing.
It's been a while. They'll do it again.
All right, let's get to something else that definitely has a local tie. And there's a Tree of Life documentary that's been done by a Shaler grad. And this is on HBO. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's also on HBO. It'll be on HBO Max as well. It'll live there for 10 years. Trish Adelsack, the director, told me, yes, she's a Shaler area high school grad. And she made this film. She wasn't necessarily planning to. She happened to be in Pittsburgh. She brought her father home from a house she has in the Catskills for his birthday. And then Tree of Life happened 2 days later, the shooting at the synagogue in Squirrel Hill. And a few days after that, she had a camera crew together and was out starting to gather this documentary material. And she ultimately ended up interviewing the survivors, the witnesses, families of those who perished. It's a very well done film. It does not shirk at putting this in the politico-social context in which the tragedy occurred. It's very well done. I highly recommend it.
Wasn't it executive produced or bankrolled by I think Billy Porter and yes, Jeff Goldblum and Michael Keaton, is that right?
Not Goldblum. It was Keaton, Mark Cuban.
Mark Cuban, sorry. Yeah, okay.
Who had involvement of some sort. I sort of tried to get into that in the story that went online today. You know, it was, she did not mention financial, well, no, Cuban gave her financial support. That's right, a grant for the editing. And I think Porter is more sort of social media, and Keaton was maybe getting some doors open. So they are named as executive producers on the project.
Have you seen the whole thing yet?
I have, yes. It's very well done, extremely moving, particularly, you know, there's a scene about the twins that were killed, and they go to a flower shop on Murray Avenue in Squirrel Hill, and you know, I guess the twins frequented that shop, and so there's some conversation there. It's just very, very humane and well done. It's not wallowing or anything like that. And, you know, it shows preparedness drills, that the training that is now given for people in houses of worship that could be in danger, whether that's synagogues or mosques or black churches or whatever. So it is not just a tribute. It is more than a tribute, but it is certainly that as well.
A couple other local topics that I wanted to get to involving television of certainly a different variety, but I'm sure people have a curiosity for two stories involving local folks, one of whom is a bartender who's on Drink Masters on Netflix, and a local woman is returning to Jeopardy.
Yeah, so the Jeopardy thing just came out this morning. There's a tournament of champions in Margaret Shelton, who won almost $80,000 over 4 Jeopardy episodes in March, is back for that tournament of champions. the tournament begins Monday, the 31st of October, but her first quarterfinals matchup airs on November 2nd. And that will, of course, be on WPXI at the new Jeopardy time of 7:30 p.m. So she is back on that. And then, yeah, so the there's a new Netflix competition series called Drink Masters, and it's from the same production company that makes the show Blown Away. It's kind of, you know, these craft competition series, but instead of, you know, Blowing Glass, which is the craft and Blown Away, this one is mixed drinks. So it's bartenders, mixologists vying for the $100,000 grand prize. And Michael Anderson of Avalon is among those competing. He works for the Deschamps Restaurant Group and most recently helped open Rib Room, which is sort of a niche dining experience inside the Meat and Potatoes restaurant in downtown Pittsburgh.
I just walked by there today. Rib Room. I didn't know that there was a room within Meat and Potatoes. I'm going to have to check that out then.
There is. And then another local program, WQED has a new Tambor Ritson's show. This one is called Symbols, and it's Thursday at 7:30 p.m. It's 90 minutes. The last one they did, Prism, was, I think, an hour. So if that is your cup of tea, it is certainly worthwhile. Lots of singing and dancing. It was shot at Pittsburgh Playhouse at Point Lee Park downtown in June. And yeah, it looks pretty good.
Rob, what else do you have cooking for TV Talk and TV Q&A?
Well, let's see. TV Talk this week, we're going to be getting into the new season of White Lotus. And then the Hulu documentary, God Forbid, which is about the scandal that brought down Jerry Falwell Jr. The Pool Boy saga is on Hulu. And so I'll be writing about that. And then TV Q&A is what happened to a WPXI reporter? Why have I not seen that person on television?
They're probably playing for the Steelers.
You know, I don't know. I have not seen. Mike Holden in a jersey, but we'll see.
Even Royce Jones can't save the Steelers now, Rob. I think it's gotten that
dire. Yeah, I did watch last night some of it. My 8-year-old has suddenly decided he wants to watch an NFL game. So we did watch some of it, although our attention waned once it became clear that the Steelers were not going to win.
All right, Rob, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. We will check in again next week. We'll read TV Talk and TV Q&A, and I encourage everybody to get to Breakfast with Ben's throughout the course of this week. Short week. We're off on Friday in advance of the game between the Eagles and the Steelers. Lots of content there as the Steelers look to take down the Eagles and hand them their first loss of the season. All that to come this week on Breakfast with Ben's. Read Rob and I at Trib Live.